Welcome to WISO Weekend, WISO's weekly radio magazine. I'm Jerry Kenny. On today's program, the economic impact of street fairs in the Miami Valley. Also, a tribute to Dayton artist Bing Davis. And we've got commentary from Bob Brekka and Bill Felker. Up first, state lawmakers say they were stunned last week by the sudden passing of Republican Representative Terry Blair of Dayton. State House correspondent Andy Chow has more on the man who spent more than 25 years in local and state government.
Before coming to the State House in 2009, Representative Terry Blair spent two decades serving as a township trustee. This is one of the reasons he was appointed to chair the State and Local Government Committee. House Speaker Bill Batchelder says he's shocked by Blair's passing. He adds that during his many years at the State House, he's experienced the loss of sitting lawmakers, but it doesn't soften the blow.
This is one that is really difficult for me because of the morals and the ethics and the real wonderful ability as a chairman that he had. And I know I'm going to miss him.
Blair's expansive impact on the General Assembly is evident by the outpouring of sympathy from both sides of the aisle. That includes Democratic Representative Ron Gerberry from Canfield, who worked alongside Blair on the committee.
He was humble. He was fair. He was a compassionate person who started every committee hearing with a prayer. He was just one of the most genuine people that I've had the distinct honor of serving with.
Both Gerberry and Batchelder said Blair created a unique committee atmosphere that was open, fair, and respectful. Blair died in a Dayton hospital. The cause of his death was not released. The 67-year-old is survived by his wife, four children, and eight grandchildren. Andy Chow at the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau.
The agency responsible for accrediting schools in Ohio has informed Wilberforce University that the school is in danger of losing its accreditation. As WISO's Wayne Baker reports, school officials say it'll be an uphill battle to fix the situation.
The Ohio Learning Commission issued a show cause order letter to Wilberforce this week, which means the school must prove that its accreditation shouldn't be removed. The university's interim president, Dr. Wilma Mishu, says the school was aware of the problem stated in the letter, including a budget deficit of nearly $10 million.
It's not that we were not aware that we had deficiencies that we had to improve upon, and I don't want anybody to have the impression that we didn't know that we had things that we needed to work on, because we did. But we simply did not expect that we would be given this short amount of time in which to do it.
Mishu says the university thought it might receive probation and was surprised to learn of the show cause order. She says the school is restructuring its administration and board of trustees in order to come up with a plan to save its accreditation. Richard Deering is the president of the Wilberforce Faculty Association. He doesn't believe that the university will be able to do that.
It would seem to me to be almost impossible to come up with a new set of facts that are going to change the direction that we're on right now.
Enrollment at Wilberforce has slipped below 200 students, while less than 50 new students are enrolled for the fall term, which starts in late July. Wayne Baker, WISO.
The former site of Fairview High School in Dayton will soon become home to the newest and largest branch in the Dayton Metro Library System. More than 100 spectators gathered last Tuesday morning as officials broke ground on Dayton Metro Library's Northwest Branch. The expansive green space at Philadelphia Drive and Hillcrest Avenue was the former home of Fairview High School, which was closed in 2010 and demolished a year later. The new 30,000-square-foot facility will eventually replace branches in Dayton View, Fort McKinley, and Northtown Shiloh, but Executive Director Tim Cambidge says patrons of those libraries will be well-served by the new facility.
As we do all the wonderful things that we are anticipating this new library having as an asset, people are going to quickly adapt and be really proud of it.
The Northwest Branch will feature audio-visual recording and editing suites, dedicated spaces for teens and children, tutoring, group study and meeting rooms, Wi-Fi, and a coffee shop. Dayton City Commissioner Joey Williams wielded one of the shovels in the ceremonial groundbreaking.
I think this is a great reuse of this site. I can't really think of a better use, to be honest with you.
Sheila Crane, a graduate of the now-gone Fairview High School, says she's glad the legacy of education will continue on the North Dayton site.
You know, it's no longer here, but this will be here. This will be here for many generations to come.
Construction of the Northwest Branch and renovations taking place at other Dayton Metro libraries are being funded by a $187 million bond passed by Montgomery County voters in November of 2012. Construction is expected to begin after the July 4th holiday and be completed in the fall of 2015. Strawberries, sauerkraut, asparagus, popcorn, beans, bacon, and moonshine. Aside from usually being edible, what do they have in common? They're all names for street festivals in Ohio, like the Popcorn Festival in Beaver Creek or the Sauerkraut Festival in Waynesville. There's one just about every weekend right now, and that's the topic of this month's Why So Curious. Listener Roger Reynolds wanted to know this.
What is the economic impact of a local small town festival or street fair, and is it worth the trouble to put those kind of festivals on?
So, WYSO's Lewis Wallace hit the streets to find out.
Yellow Springs packs its downtown with a bustling street fair twice a year. It's a fundraiser for the Village Chamber of Commerce. At Emporium Wines and Underdog Cafe, the first person I ask says she can't stand it.
25,000 people take over our town. The chamber makes all this money. It's hard.
Kathleen McMillan, like a lot of townies, avoids the whole thing.
Only a few local people make a lot of money from it.
But the owner of this shop, Kurt Miyazaki, says he's definitely one of those local people.
When people say they don't like the street fair because it's so crowded, locals need to understand that that actually helps us keep prices down for them.
The Emporium and nearby Dino's Cappuccinos can double their sales on a street fair day. Speaking at Dino's, Karen Wintrow with the Yellow Springs Chamber of Commerce says the chamber brings in about $130,000 a year directly from street fairs, the vendor fees, sponsorships, and drink sales. That's twice what it spends. Beyond that, she's not really sure about the numbers.
We know we're getting a lot of visitors, and that economic impact, I honestly don't know.
Turns out there are some obstacles to actually quantifying this. For example, it's hard to get so much as a head count in an open street fair. And some businesses, especially food and hotels, report great sales, but others say event days are a bummer. I called half a dozen local festival organizers and the State Tourism Bureau. None had crunched the numbers.
I definitely recommend doing some sort of tracking of visitor spending.
Rachel Carter is a tourism expert with Mississippi State University. She says not every town needs to do a formal economic impact study, but it can help with planning.
For example, they may be spending a lot of money on food and beverages, but they might not be spending very much in your retail shops. So maybe that would give you a clue that maybe we need to work with our retail merchants and figure out a way that they can make money off of this event.
Most of the studies Carter has worked on have found that the benefits outweigh the costs. And there is an elementary way to measure. The Ohio Tourism Bureau estimates a traveler in Ohio spends about $110 a day, not counting overnight costs. So you could multiply the number of visitors by those dollars. By that count, the Yellow Springs Street Fair, estimated at 25,000 people, brings in almost $3 million. But then you also have to account for vendors from out of town who take the money and leave. Plus, there are locals who stay home to avoid the crowds. And lots of organizers say the biggest benefits can't be measured in lemonade or beer sales. Festivals are a way to promote the town itself. In Troy, the yearly Strawberry Festival is such a big deal, they have strawberry decals painted on the streets year-round.
I'm Sue Cantrell from Aroundabout Books in Troy, Ohio, downtown.
Aroundabout is a roomy, old-fashioned, new and used bookstore. Cantrell used to lose business on the day of Strawberry Fest when it was a few blocks away on the levee. Last year, the event moved into town, and it's been great for her.
When it is downtown here, it does wonderful. We really get a large number of people in, and not to mention, we find out people didn't even know we were down here.
Getting people down here means a good day plus free publicity. So to get back to Roger's question, is it worth all the trouble? Well, each place has to evaluate that. And usually street fairs start as community events. They grow because people have fun.
Ice cold lemonade, soda water, just a dollar.
At the Yellow Springs Street Fair, June 14th, I run into musician Joseph Glenn, who plays the steel drum regularly around town. He says it's not about the money. He's here mainly to be a part of it all and to help other people see
what we have going on here in Yellow Springs and give the people a taste of what's happening on a regular basis, you know. So just like giving it to, exposing it to the people, you know.
Well, fair enough. For WYSO, I'm Lewis Wallace.
What are you curious about? Why So Curious is our series where you ask the questions and WISO reporters answer them online and on air. Go to WISO.org to submit your own question about the Miami Valley's people, history, and economy. You're listening to WISO Weekend on 91.3 WISO. Thanks for joining us this Sunday morning. We see the work of Dayton artist Willis Bing Davis hanging in banks and boardrooms, libraries, and concert halls throughout the Miami Valley. His work is full of color and movement and is based on themes he's been exploring for decades. Archives fellow Jocelyn Robinson found a 1981 interview with Bing Davis in the WISO archives, and to celebrate the artist's 76th birthday, she shares some of the original recording and brings us up to date with the artist's signature series.
When artist and educator Bing Davis returned from a study trip to West Africa in the mid-1970s, he didn't know he'd embark on a series of drawings that would span nearly four decades. They're called Ancestral Spirit Dances, and even back then it was clear he was working from a deep well of inspiration. In the summer of 1981, WYSO reporter Sherry Novick did a feature story on Bing. At that time, he'd completed several dozen of these pieces for a solo exhibit at the Dayton Art Institute.
Ancestral Spirit Dances, a series of oil pastels, 40 by 32 inches, vivid splashes of color and woven earth tones, striking on a background of black. And they're just part of well over 100 works on display in the one-man show by Willis Bing Davis. Respect for African history and culture is a theme evident in many of his works.
I experienced in 75 an authentic African ritual to an ancestor. When I got back to the United States, it was, had been such a moving experience, I couldn't do anything with it. It was too close to me. Mm-hmm. But a couple of years later, I started to reflect on it. And what I remembered was all that brilliance of color and the patterns in the African textiles and the movement of the dancers. And that was what I remembered from it. So it started to evolve into a series of drawings. And I picked up the patterns of the textiles that I saw and tried to pick up the color and the movement and the moving of the costumes and the regalia. And I wanted to recapture some of that energy and vitality and suggested motion in a still form that I saw in an actual form there. So this whole series of drawing is dealing with the African textiles and the movement of the dancers.
Now, in 2014, Bing has created nearly 500 pieces in the series and plans more. I visited him at his studio in the Ebonia Gallery, a sunny storefront on West 3rd Street. He was working on the latest drawing, a large oil pastel. He approached it with reverence, his movements rhythmic and deliberate as he applied strokes of orange and blue to the black paper. Bing Davis spoke of the personal and professional significance of the Ancestral Spirit Dance series.
Those works of art was a nurturing and a cleansing activity. And cleansing from the standpoint, it always put me back into a positive place and a sense of connectedness to the ancestors. And I've said often since then that each one that I do, no matter what the size, no matter what the medium, is a visual prayer of thanks. And so that series, I keep going back to it. And I go back to it now with almost total comfort. I was searching for a sense of direction of how am I going to reflect these rich experiences and new knowledge that I had. So with many of the things that I do, I now know that that series is my grounding. That series is my sense of connectedness to the ancestors. And it also has been a reaffirming experience for what I do with art, with teaching, with community activism. All of it is stemming from that. And so I draw readily from that series as anchoring me and also directing me. And so each time when I finish it, it's like a visual prayer of thanks for those on whose shoulders I stand. So if I keep working, there's no way for me to lose my direction. When I see something that inspires a color pattern for one, or a movement in one. If I see branches flowing and I visualize the lines that I'm gesturing in the work, it always ties in my heritage. And so without even saying a word, I'm saying thank you, thank you, thank you.
Bing Davis teaches, mentors, and makes art in his Wright Dunbar neighborhood. To hear more about Bing Davis's creative process and to view a short video of the artist at work on the latest in the Ancestral Spirit Dance series, visit WYSO.org. For Rediscovered Radio at WYSO, I'm Jocelyn Robinson.
Major funding for Rediscovered Radio is provided by the Ohio Humanities Council and the Greene County Public Library. Sustainability has become a buzzword in contemporary society, but University of Dayton professor Bob Brekka thinks sustainability is a matter of survival, something citizens should think about in a deep and serious way.
To sustain, this is from the dictionary. To sustain means to keep in existence, also to support from below, or to keep from falling or sinking. That's more direct than we often state it. The goal of sustainable development is to meet the needs of present generations without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their needs. I think this captures the essence of sustainability in broad terms, but is still too vague and can be molded to fit many different agendas. Fundamentally, we must learn to think long-term and globally. That's the challenge of sustainable development. There will always be uncertainties if we choose a sustainable lifestyle. We do this all the time. We make decisions about the future without all the information we'd like to have. When we plan for retirement or for our kids' college education, we trade off spending now against saving for the future. We could just not save and then hope that we'll miraculously become wealthy during our daughter's senior year in high school. Somehow, we usually weigh probabilities and risks and decide that the likely path to a happy outcome is to balance current desires with thoughts of the future. Sustainability. Remember, we're talking about trying to keep in existence. Has added challenges. It's really tricky because we have to think about two things at once: people elsewhere in developing countries and future generations. We live in a world of finite natural resources that are gone once we use them up. What will we do if the fossil fuels we needed for development become scarce? And we already know that the climate is permanently changing because we've put too much CO2 into the atmosphere. Should we just keep using up fossil fuels and emitting CO2 and hope that future generations will be able to deal with it? Let me put it like this. Would we be comfortable trading places with future generations, knowing the legacy we're leaving them? I don't think so. Thinking about large geographical scales and long time frames is challenging, but we can start by taking action locally and now. In the end, we need to find a model that allows us and our fellow human beings now and for generations into the future to flourish, and at the same time to live within the bounds set by a finite Earth system. That would be sustainability in action. For WYSO, I'm Bob Brekka.
Bob Brekka is a professor of physics and renewable and clean energy. He's the coordinator of Sustainability, Energy, and the Environment Program at the University of Dayton. For more stories and commentaries, visit our website, WYSO.org.
Baby, lock the door and turn the lights down low. Put some music on that's soft and slow. Baby, we ain't got no place to go. I hope you understand. I've been thinking about this all day.
I'm Jerry Kenny. You're listening to WYSO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. A little music on this Sunday morning. On Friday, a cappella group Home Free stopped by the WYSO studios to share their vocal talents with Nikki Dakota and Excursions listeners. Here's an excerpt from the show.
Ever love nobody the way that I love.
From your radio left to your radio right, it's Adam, Tim, Austin, Chris, and Rob. Together they are Home Free. Welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having us.
You guys are some of the finest looking people, and you sound pretty good, too. If you'd give us a little sample of your wares. Again, welcome, and go right ahead.
Thanks. All right.
Three.
Baby, you a song, you make me want to roll my windows down and cruise. I got my windows down and the radio up, get your radio up.
Yeah, when I first saw that bikini top on her, she's popping right out of the South Georgia water. Thought, oh, good Lord, she had them long tan legs. Couldn't help myself, so I walked up and said, baby, you a song, you make me want to roll my windows down and cruise down a back road, blowing stop signs through the middle, every little farm town with you. This brand new Chevy with a lift kit would look a hell of a lot better with you up in it. So baby, you a song, you make me want to roll my windows down and cruise.
My windows down, my seats are back, my music's up and we ride.
We ride.
Legs up on my dashboard, it's just the way I like.
I like
country girl, this country boy, like everything
about you.
Don't change a thing. No way, just stay the same and I got
it. Come on now, baby, give a song, you make me want to roll my baby, you a song, you make me want to roll my windows down and cruise down a back road, blowing stop signs through the middle, every little farm town with you.
Brand new Chevy with a lift kit
would look a hell of a lot better with you up in it.
Come out!
So baby, you a song, you make me want to roll my windows down and cruise. I got my windows down. And the radio up, get your radio up.
Home free, live on 91.3 WYSO. Man, I got the best seat in the house. You guys have hand movements that go with that.
Watch out.
You there. It's Tim, right?
That is, yeah.
Basically like you're playing piano with your voice.
I get that comment a lot. I don't know. It's just something that comes along with bass singing.
He's got a super bass hand
we
over here.
Super bass line with our hands.
I'm so pleased you're here all the way on your radio left is Adam, who's doing the beatbox in here. It seems
What's
like
up?
you got the hard job there. You kind of have to nail it all down.
I wouldn't say it's the hard job. It's probably the job that has the most freedom, in the sense that, you know, they're kind of doing their thing and I'm just doing my thing, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about being in tune. He just spits everywhere.
Everywhere.
You're going to want to clean off that mic, by the way.
We're not joking.
We got spit cards on there. We'll have to ring that out. Adam and Chris, Adam the beatboxer and Chris, on your middle radio left here, Chris Rupp and Adam Rupp, you guys basically got this started almost 15 years ago. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
What made you think you could do a cappella and country music style?
Well, we didn't think that we could do it, and you know, it just kind of came together, really. But I mean, Chris started the group 14 years ago, and for the longest time it was just a hobby that we were just, you know, trying to figure out this and that and how to do all the music business side of things and, you know, how to, you know, put the show together. And it wasn't until we got these other guys in the group that we kind of really started hitting it off with country music. And some of us were reluctant about the switch to being all country, in the sense that we were trying to have a lot more pop stuff in our set, and it kind of just naturally just went that direction anyway, because, you know, Tim and Austin, they have such a country background and flair, and they're kind of like the front singers of the group. And so it was a natural transition. And when the sing-off saw us doing our country songs, they instantly were just like, oh my gosh, you guys have to be the country group, you know.
Very nice. Well, you have come together clearly quite well. You can find out more by pointing your browser to homefreevocalband.com. They're named Home Free, but you put homefreevocalband.com. You can find out more about their history and about their knocking it out of the park for season 4 of NBC's The Sing-Off, and about what's coming down the pike for them. Can you play us another? Play us.
Right.
Play the human voice.
Are we
going to
do an original?
Yeah, why don't you talk about it, Tim?
All right. This is an original off our brand new Columbia Records release called Crazy Life. This song is Champagne Taste on a Beer Budget.
One, two.
The other day I checked my bank account, and I swear it was the wrong amount, and I didn't understand, because I've been working hard. For the life of me, I didn't know where it went. I hadn't even paid the rent. Then the Mercedes pulled up in the yard. Oh, Lord, I should have seen it coming. This time I'm in deep.
Now I'm into the poorhouse or heading to jail, and if I end up there, I ain't making bail. And if it goes to court, I sure don't have a case, 'cause I ran out of money some time ago. But if you look at my wife, you'd never know. I'm afraid my baby's got champagne taste
on a beer budget. Well, my throat dried up and my heart just sunk, and she motioned me over and popped the trunk, and I tried to ignore her absent-minded smile. And boy, I was greeted by quite the crew. There's Louis Vuitton and some Jimmy Choo. And that was just the fellas who were sitting on top of the pie. I said, baby, there's a Walmart a block away, and I don't think they sell these brands.
Now I'm heading to the poorhouse or heading to jail. If I end up there, I ain't making bail. And if it goes to court, I sure don't have a case. 'Cause I ran out of money some time ago, but if you look at my wife, you never know. I'm afraid my baby's got champagne taste.
On a beer budget, you fellas know what I'm talking about. All the bills are in my name.
All the bills are in his name.
They're gonna haul my ass away.
They're gonna haul his ass away.
And I won't see her pretty face at all.
Oh,
cause the prison's nowhere near the mall.
Heading to jail, and if I end up there, I ain't making bail. And if it goes to court, I sure don't have a case. Cause I ran out of money some time ago, but if you look at my wife, you'd never know. I'm afraid my baby's got champagne taste.
Free live on 91.3 WYSO. I could be a theme song of my very own. It kind of has a Boy Named Sue feel to it, a really nice sort of talk, kind of sass thing. That's nice.
Kind of going for a Johnny Cash vibe.
Well done, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
WYSO presents live music on a number of our music shows. The Hall of Fame Blues Show, Monday nights with Shake and Dave Hussong, Kaleidoscope on Wednesdays with Juliet Fromholt, and Excursions with our very own music director, Nikki Dakota. Find out more online at WYSO.org.
This is Bill Felker with Poor Will's Almanac for the transition week to middle summer. It seems this time of year that the garden weeds always get out of hand. They follow their own mind and jump the boundaries I've established, and the heat and the humidity convince me to just let them do it. And, well, I believe that there are more weeds than there used to be, since no one ever actually does an annual weed count. I can't prove there are more, but experience leaves no doubt in my mind. It makes sense, of course. Even the most fastidious gardener misses a few dandelions, thistles, plantain, crabgrass, ragweed, pokeweed, and the like each year. For every plant that's allowed to mature, hundreds or thousands of seeds fall to the ground and germinate. Some people say that given the unequal proportion of humans to weeds, the weeds will push the people off the face of the land by the year 2050. They say that even with modern herbicides, there's little hope for the flower and vegetable aficionado or for the farmer. The weeds will simply flat out win. A similar threat exists from information. Here in the 21st century, information is growing faster than weeds, and soon it will be impossible to learn even a small fraction of what has been discovered, identified, and decoded. By the time that the weeds take over the planet, there'll be so much to learn that people may simply give up and allow the earth to be swamped by pigweed and facts. This is Bill Felker with Poor Will's Almanac. I'll be back again next week with notes for the second week of middle summer. In the meantime, go ahead, think about weeds and information.
Bill Felker contributes to newspapers nationwide, including the Yellow Springs News. Bill resides in Yellow Springs. Poor Will's Almanac is also available as a podcast at wyso.org.
That's it for this week's edition of WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at WYSO.org. WYSO is a community service of Antioch College for the Miami Valley and beyond. I'm Jerry Kenney. Thanks for joining us. Coming up next on this public radio station, The Book Nook.